This time I'm going to ask Sister Lorna, and Brother Chi also going to put our scripture up for us, and I'll ask Sister Lorna if she would read for us John chapter 11. You can turn in your Bibles, John chapter 11, verse 38 through 45.
John 11, 38 to 45. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where his dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, and I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me." And he who was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with great clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. The word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord God, and we thank you for this precious, wonderful day that you have given to us today. Surely, God, we are rejoicing and we are happy and we are glad in this day. We are so excited to be here today, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, because you've been so good to us, Lord. You kept us all weak. You kept us healthy. You kept us strong. Father, we thank you for the roofs over our heads. Father, the clothing that you provide for us and the food. Lord, we have so much to thank you for that if we had 10,000 tongues, we could not thank and praise you enough. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in this place. And now, Lord, we invite you and we said, "Come on in, Jesus." And Father, have your own way in our midst today, Lord God. Hide me behind the cross that I will not be seen, Lord, that you will be seen. We want to see Jesus. Oh God, I thank you for every family that is represented here, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives and for what you are yet to do. Lord, I thank you for what Pastor Boyce, the vision that you have given to him, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, because, Father, we know that you have a great plan for each and every one of us. And, Father, we thank you. As you lead us, we will follow. Father, we give the rest of this service to you. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. You know, the title of my message today is Dare to Believe God. I was in church New Year's Eve night, and we were in church. The praise and worship was just wonderful, and it was the time Pastor Larry got up to speak. And while Pastor Larry was preaching, jump out of my spirit, I heard, "Dare to Believe God." And I grabbed a piece of paper and I wrote it down and I turned to Sister Charlene, was sitting next to me, and I said, "Sister Charlene, the Lord just gave me the title for my next message." I said, "Now I have to seek him to get the scripture to go with the title." So a couple of days went by and I began to seek the Lord and said, "Okay, Lord, dare to believe God, dare to believe God. Lord, what scripture? Give it to me, Lord." And then the Lord brought back John, the 11th chapter 2. But the key verse he gave me was verse 40. "If you would believe, you would see the glory of God." Dare to believe God. But before I got into my message also for this new year, and Sister Lamai was sharing what happened in church today, and At the beginning of the new year, the Lord really laid on my heart that the body of Christ this year is getting ready to see the awesomeness of God move in our midst. It's going to be a time where God is going to manifest His glory among His believers. The things that we thought that were so impossible, God is getting ready to show up in those situations and show off. And the Lord really encouraged my heart to let me know that all He wants us to do is to believe Him. All you have to do is to believe me. And also, as we go through this year, we're also going to see the enemy going to rise up with his vicious attack. But I want to encourage you today, because we know every time God moves, the enemy moves. But I want to encourage you today that the Bible says that no weapon Satan is forming against us, it shall not prosper. And also to remember that He is the greater one that is in us than the one that is in this world. But saints, I want you to get ready for what God is getting ready to do in the lives of His people. And as I go into my message today, let's take a look at the story of Lazarus. And the Bible, we know, as we read from the beginning of chapter 11 to go on to the end of the chapter, most of it, it talks about the death of Lazarus. And what we will, as we read the scriptures, we know that Lazarus and Martha and Mary were very good friends of Jesus. Jesus spent many times with them, having dinner and lunch and fellowshipping with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, because the Bible said the one whom He loved, He knew them. He was their friend. And the Bible went on to tell us that Lazarus got sick. As a matter of fact, Lazarus got very sick. That everyone thought that Lazarus was going to die. And the scripture went on to say that Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, asking Jesus that if He would come and heal Lazarus. They knew that Jesus had power to heal. They had seen the miracles. This was the one who opened up the blind eyes. And they had seen the miracles, and they knew that Jesus can heal Lazarus. But the Bible went on to tell us that Jesus did not rush. He didn't leave right away. The Bible says He stayed 2 days. And you wonder, well, why? If Jesus loved Lazarus, why didn't He go to Lazarus right away? Why did He stay 2 days? And then on the third day, Jesus said to His disciples, let's go to Bethany. Lazarus is asleep. Well, they thought, well, if Lazarus is asleep, Lord, that's a good thing. He's being strengthened. And then He came out to say, Lazarus is dead. Now the scripture went on to tell us that Jesus, by the time He got to Bethany, Lazarus was already dead 4 days. God intended to wait because He wanted to increase the faith of His disciples, and also to manifest His glory in the raising of Lazarus. Sometimes, you know, we pray, we say, God, we've been praying for so long and nothing is happening. Lord, don't You hear me? Lord, don't You care? Lord, why are You taking so long? He has an appointed time for everything. And He doesn't come in our time. He comes in His time. He's never too late. He's never too early. He's right on time. He knows exactly when to show up. And here Jesus. He came, and the news probably went out that Jesus was coming in town. Because people from Jerusalem and all over, they came. Not only they came because they were so concerned about Martha and Mary and the loss of their brother, but they came to see what Jesus is going to do about this situation. And it tells us that Jesus, when he got there, Martha, we see the faith of Martha and the limitations of her faith, the reality of her faith and the limitations of Martha's faith. Martha said, Jesus, if you had only been here sooner, my brother would not have died. Lord, you came so late. It's too late. Sometimes we look at our situations and the enemy would make us think, well, you're going down and there's no way you're coming back up. It's impossible. It's too late. Nothing can be done. But we know that we serve a God who there is nothing that is impossible with God. It doesn't matter how difficult that situation may seem. Each and every one of us here today believe in God for a miracle. Or believe in God to do something for us that we know we don't have the resources or we can't do anything about the situation. But we want God to move in that situation for us. He is able. He's able to do it. It's not impossible with Him. If we only believe Him. Christ never brings His people into a place of danger. But He's there with us. The Bible tells us, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for thou art with us, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. In the midst of our trials and in our situations, in the midst of our troubles, He's right there with us. But He don't bring us into danger. But even when we get into danger, He's right there with us. Jesus turned around and He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. This is why the Bible tells us, all things work together for our good to those who love the Lord and work all according to His purpose. They say, well, God, I was born with this affliction. What good could come out of that? But Lord, God, I lost all my children. I saw on the news recently, and this was, I think, was an Oprah about this woman who lost all three kids in a car accident. I mean, she was devastated. She was a kid, was spared, but three kids died. And he said, how could anybody go through that and survive? What good could come out of that situation? But it went on a couple of years later. I think it was a year, 2 years later. The Lord blessed her. And she had three kids. She had two girls and one boy. She got pregnant, I think, a year or two later. And she had two girls and one boy. That's a miracle. I believe if that woman was not a believer, after that she became a believer. Because you know what Oprah said? It truly was a miracle. God would take our devastation and He would turn it around and He would bring miracles out of it. And this is what He did here in the book of John. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but is for the manifestation of the glorious power of God. By the time Jesus arrived, I could see everyone. But now He shows up. My God, there's nothing He can do. Here's Mary and Martha and everyone. They're weeping, weeping, crying over the loss of Lazarus. And we see here Mary Our mother had a great conversation with you, talking about telling you, Lord, you should have come with us, Lord. Lord. And sometimes we do this. So we say, well, Lord, why did you do that? Lord, you should have done this. And Lord, why didn't you walk it out this way? And Lord, and Lord. And we're telling him what he should do. He knows exactly what to do. Sometimes I believe the Lord says, just shut up, sit down, listen, and follow. Martha is going on and telling him, Lord, I know this and I know that, but God, this and this and this. And she's telling him all the things that he should have done. And then Jesus, he said to them, Martha, he said, if you would only believe, verse 40, you would see the manifestation of the power of God and the glory of God. Just believe, Martha. You would see the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Some of us are just waiting for our faith to rise up inside of us because he has so many miracles he wants to perform in our lives. But we must use our faith because God moves on faith. Mm-hmm. When he healed the woman, she said, woman, thy faith has made me whole. He wants us to use our faith, stand upon the word of God and trust him. And she went on to say, Lord, if you had gotten here on time, he could have been healed. Listen, saints, God's delay is not a denial. Not because it didn't happen last year means he's not going to do it. Just wait on God. His timing is perfect. And as believers, it's so important to wait on God. Sometimes we want to jump ahead of God. Sometimes we want to do things our way instead of God's way. I remember several years ago, some of the saints of God, they were getting involved in this and they were running here, they were running down. Lord, you should come here and we should do this and we should do that. And one day walking home, the Lord spoke to me and he says, listen. He said, I do not want you to follow the crowd. He said, but follow the crowd. We got to follow. We got to wait on his timing. Because his timing is perfect. As the woman of God said to me at National, she said, seasons are very important. Also, timing is very important. We have to wait on God's timing. 4 days. Lazarus is in the grave. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But she said to Jesus, after all the complaints, she said, but you know, Lord, I know that even now God will hear, will give you whatever you ask. She said, in the Lord, even though you know, Lord, you came here late, and you know, I don't know, you should have been here, but I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus responded and said to Martha, your brother will rise again. She said, Lord, I know. I know, she said. He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha hadn't gotten a grip on the power of God and knowing that he was going to raise Lazarus today. Today is the day of salvation. No faith is. She could not grasp this. And she said, Lord, I know yes. In the last day, I know he rise again. So many times, you know, we believe in the sweet by and by. Well, you know, there's the day coming. But you know, God wants to bless us. Right now, God wants to use us right now. God wants to heal our bodies right now. He wants to perform miracles in our lives right now. So many times we hear people say, well, yes, I know God's going to bless, but you know, when we get to heaven, listen, God wants to use us here on earth as his instrument that the unbelievers will see the manifestation of the glory of God. And that's what we're bringing into the kingdom. Some have to see a miracle before they do. He wants to manifest his glory among his people. He wants us to begin to walk, as we study our Bible study, walking in the supernatural. We're going to rethink, well, God could do it for the pastor or for that one because they are so anointed. He wants to do it for each and every one of us, for every believer. For every one of us. Jesus wanted to take Martha a step. He's looking out for faith. He said to Martha, take me to where you lay him. He told him, take me to where you lay him. Now here she's thinking. Dad, what is he going to do? Take me to where you laid him? Still, there's that doubt and unbelief in her mind. You know, when we truly believe that God can do great things for us, and he's an awesome and a powerful God, you know, whatever he says, yes, Lord, I believe. But sometimes we feel there's only certain things that God can do in our lives, but this he cannot do. There's still that doubt and unbelief in us. But he wants to take us to that place where we stand and we truly believe God, no matter how impossible the situation may seem. Lord, whatever you say, I believe. I believe. And he said, take me to the place where you live. In other words, he was saying, take me to the place where you lost your hope. Take me to that place where you lost the faith. Because that's what happens sometimes. When situation comes into our lives, we lose our hope and our faith. And it's a trick of the enemy. This really feels like I was sharing with my daughter, and I said it because she does need a miracle. It seems sometimes like things is getting worse in her life. But you know something? I have to hold on to my faith and believe God. Even though it looks like it's getting worse already. Look at, look what's happening. Oh, brain surgery again. I don't think she'd survive that day. It looks like she's going down. But I have to hold on to my faith, and I can't lose hope in God. Because when we become hopeless, then we have no need to believe God. There's no more faith. Everything seems hopeless to us. We don't care anymore. We give up. And that's what, when the enemy will bring the circumstances into our lives to weaken our faith in God. Because if we begin to look at the circumstances that we are facing, and we take our eyes off of God, the enemy will magnify the circumstance and will look so big that there is nothing can be done about that situation. I have to keep focusing on my daughter's situation and say, it's hopeless. Nothing can be done. Because listen, right now with the doctors and masks, nothing nobody can do for us. Not one thing. They can do. But I believe it's a setup for a pickup. He's setting her up for a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. The Bible went on to say that Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11, 35. Jesus wept. Jesus was not weeping because Lazarus was dead, because Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus up from the dead. But he was weeping because of the followers that was there, and he saw them mourning and crying, and the sympathy that he had Jesus, we have not only died, he saw the destruction, the misery of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin brings forth death. And Jesus, the Bible said, wept. He had a deep sense of misery of sin that had brought upon human nature. Sin that brings all different types. You know, so many times I hear people say, well, you know, if we have served a good God, and God is so loving and so kind, why would he allow suffering? Why do people die? Why sickness and disease? It's because of sin. We live in a sinful world. And the Bible tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has delivered them out of them all. We are delivered. The situation you're facing, you are delivered. Can I tell you? We are delivered. Say, I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then as Jesus got to the tomb, he told them that was standing there. He said, roll the stone away. You know, I believe he did that. So as they rolled the stone away, because there were so many unbelievers gathered standing there. So when they rolled the stone away, they could see Lazarus laying in the tomb. They knew what Jesus probably, Lazarus really wasn't dead, and maybe he did some kind of magic. You know, they saw Lazarus laying there, wrapped up in bandages in the tomb. And the Bible went on to say that Jesus lifted up his finger and began to pray. And Father, I thank you that you have heard me and you have answered me. Jesus had already prayed about the entire situation. He knew exactly what the Father was going to do. But he was believing God that the crowd that is standing there, they will see the manifestation of his glory. And the Bible went on to tell us Jesus with a loud voice said, Lazarus! Come forth. You know, I heard one minister, maybe several ministers, said it this way. Jesus hadn't called Lazarus' name, and he had just said, come forth. Every dead person would arise up and come forth out of the grave that day. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said Lazarus came walking out of the tomb with bandages wrapped around. Could you imagine the scenery? Could you imagine the crowd? Could you imagine being there that day and seeing a dead man 4 days? The Jews believed that 3 days the soul of the body gathers or stays around the body, hoping to go back in the body. But after 4 days, it leaves. It goes away. So what they are looking at, this is an impossible situation. 3 days is fine, but 4 days, no way. He's already decayed and stink and forget it. There's no way he could ever come back alive. So just imagine 4 days and here comes Lazarus. And he said to them, loosen him and let him go. Hallelujah. Like us, many of us, we come and we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and we are alive and we're well. But we are still bound up by traditions or fear or doubt or belief or hatred and bitterness. We are bound. And I believe he's saying to us today, loosen it. Let it go. Some things we got to let go. We got to give it up. We're still holding on. He said, loosen him. And let him go. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. He is the resurrection and the life. You know, I could imagine the crowd standing there when they see it. Because so many of them were crying. Remember when Jesus went to Jerusalem? He took up stones to stone Jesus. And he left out. So many of them were planning. They know that he was coming and they were waiting for him. I believe that day, so many of them who come with their plans, they will change. Their lives will change because they saw America. They truly saw the glory of God manifested that day. The Bible said many of them walked away believing on Him. Martha Mary's life also was never the same again. Having my brother alive and with me, could you imagine? All for the glory of God. Jesus, He revealed His glory to them. And that's what He wants to do for us. He wants to reveal His glory in us. You know, I was thinking as when my daughter called me, and I'm just thinking of a situation. I said, God, I can just imagine that day when she gets from the hospital, all the doctors, she's been working in this hospital for 5 years, they all know she's hearing impaired, they know her situation. Could you imagine Lisa walking in on the job that day? She can hear. Her voice is restored. Everything is restored. Could you imagine the unbelievers there? What will happen? Just think about it. He wants to manifest His glory in our situation for the unbelievers to see that the God we serve is a miracle worker. You know what? I'm excited. I'm waiting for that day because I believe that day is coming. It's going to happen. I don't believe she had this affliction by accident. I believe God's going to use that He will get the glory out of it. Allow Him to take the situations in your life and use that to get the glory out of it. None of us to get the glory, but God gets the glory. Out of the resurrection of Lazarus, God got all the glory. No man got the glory of it. And that's what He's getting ready to do in life-giving church. God is going to manifest His awesome presence, His miracle-working power among His people. Because He has a plan and a purpose. A divine plan and a divine purpose. As I said, it was His plan. It was His intention to wait for 40. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jesus wanted to make sure that He showed up in the scene in His timing, but when they wanted Him to come. He showed up at this time. You know, there's so many things like several years ago while I was in New York, living in New York at the time, there were things that the Lord had spoken to me about, you know, even in my own life and with my family members. And some things I've seen the Lord manifested after several years. And some things, again, I'm still holding on to and believing God for it. Like, I remember several years ago, the Lord spoke to me, He brought me to Maryland. He says, all your loved ones will come to Maryland. He said, here's where they have to live. And after the Lord spoke that to me, some of my family members left Maryland and some moved to New York. Some left and moved to Atlanta. And it just went all over the place. And I said, Lord, You promised me that all my loved ones will live in Maryland. Why did they leave Maryland and move to another state? But you know, I'm holding on to the promise. And just recently, one of my family members who lived in Milwaukee told my aunt, you know, that she'd like to move to Maryland to live. And my aunt Jean shared with me also recently that her daughter who moved, left Maryland and went to South Carolina, called and said, just this week, Mom, I'm really thinking of moving back to Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I said to my aunt Jean, I said, remember the promise. He said,
every one of our loved ones would have to move to Maryland, would live in Maryland, because this is where we want to live. So I'm holding on to that promise. I'm believing God, and as so many of us, He gives things to you. He gives you a promise that He's going to do. And like I said, when He's spoken, it when the other one, because half of them left Maryland, they didn't know about the promise. But they left and they moved away. I could have said, well, God, probably God, maybe that was not you. You know, what happened here? But if you truly believe God and we stand on the promises, it shall come to pass. In closing, I want to encourage you. Jesus commanded Lazarus to come forth gloriously. Lazarus walked out of the tomb, brought back to life. He's calling us to come forth. Come forth out of that place of hopelessness. Come forth out of that place of despair. Come forth out of that place of doubt and unbelief. Come forth. He's calling us. Hallelujah. He wants to bring us to a place where we can walk in the supernatural, not just on a Sunday, but every day of our lives. Every day of our lives, walking in the supernatural power of God. On your job. In the supermarket. Wherever you go, you're walking in the supernatural power of God. I just want to say this. I shared a testimony with you several months ago, I believe. But I heard a testimony of many years ago, I think it was Rodney Howard Brown. I believe you ever heard of Rodney Howard Brown. In the Evangel Church of Carolina. And he was preaching out of the book of Isaiah, I believe, chapter 8. But he shared a testimony about this young man who walked in the supernatural every day. He walked in the supernatural. He said, and one day the Lord spoke to him and he said, I want you to pack your bags and head to the airport. I want you to go to India. The man had no ticket, didn't make any reservation, but he obeyed the Lord. So this man got to the airport, had his little suitcase, and he's waiting. He's waiting. He said, and a gentleman walked up to him and he said, is your name so-and-so? He said, yes. He said, here's your ticket to go to India. Could you imagine? I believe that must have been an angel. Listen, God could send an angel to you and say, the Lord told me, this is your $1 million. Laugh, Margie. Hallelujah. He can do it.
Yes.
I believe this is the year where God wants us to stretch our faith. He wants to take us into a deeper level of faith in Him. That we can walk in the supernatural. My God, my God. We believe in God for our mortgage every month, and that's wonderful. But He says, I want you to believe me for millions to reach the nation for my kingdom. He wants us to believe it to stretch our faith. And this is what verse 20:11-44. If you believe God, you will see His glory manifested in your life. But if He was here to us today, Lorna, Christine, do you believe in me? Do you believe me? I believe this is what He's asking. Do you believe me? Do you truly believe me? If you believe me, you would see my glory. He's ready. is waiting to manifest it in our lives. I want God's glory to be manifested in my life. I want to walk in the supernatural. Because listen, what he did here, he's still doing today. Because the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still resurrecting the dead. He's still opening blind eyes. He's still unstopping deaf ears. He's still performing miracles. Do you believe he can do it for you?
Amen.
Lorraine, do you believe that I can heal Nisa? Yes. That's the question he's saying to us today. Do you believe? Do you believe? What it is you're facing in your life that seems like a mountain. You can't get over this mountain. It's like an obstacle in your life. It's facing you every day. Do you believe God? You know something I believe? If we truly believe God in the situations that we are facing, our attitude will be different. Our praise and worship will be different. Our prayer life will be different. Because you know, when you really believe something, you begin to see it. And when you begin to see, you begin to act like you already have it. That's faith. Hallelujah. And that's what he wants us to do. Like I told my daughter, I said, I want you to thank God every day. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. If she starts doing that, I believe her whole attitude would change. God wants us to see him in the greatness of his power, his resurrection power. Satan may have counted you out. He may have thought he buried you along with your hopes and with your dreams. But God is commanding you and me to come forth. To let go and let God. And to trust him and to truly put our faith and our hope in him. If we will take God's word and rely on his power and faithfulness, that's it. If we will take his word, if we rely on the power of God and his faithfulness, we too will see his glory in our lives. I ask you to do, let God alive in this situation.
Nothing for you.
He can do it. You can. He can. If I think of my situation, you know, I'm really believing for financial breakthrough. Or if I depend on my salary, it would take me years to get out, Lord. But you could do it overnight. See, that's what the enemy wants us. He wants us to look at it and he starts figuring out. And well, as long as you stay and you're figuring it out, and you're figuring, you think, well, I got to do this, do that, blah, 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 blah. And you don't trust me. Go ahead. We're quick to do that. And it's nothing wrong with balancing your checkbook, you know. But you see, that's not really your source. He is your source. Hallelujah. So no matter how it seems or how impossible, he is your soul. He can do it if you only believe God. That's what I want to share with you today. I want you to get excited. Start expecting the impossible. Hallelujah. Wake up every morning with excitement. Lord, is today the day for the miracle? God, is today the day for my deliverance? God, is this the day that you're going to perform that miracle in my life? Wake up every day with that excitement, expecting God to do it for you today. He wants to do it. And as we truly believe God, we would see the Word of God would be manifested in our lives like never. And I truly believe 2011 is the year. It's the year for the glory of God to be manifested in the lives of His people. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to come out from this place that I'm in. Not like the church, not here. I don't know what a place, a situation. That I want to come up. I want to rise up in you. I want to reach out. See God's glory. Walk in that healing power. Go out and lay hands on the sick and see blinded eyes open up. He wants to use you and you and me to do it. We are the ones to get the job done. You say, God, yes, Lord, I believe, have done my unbelief. And I think that is what's holding us back, what that has done. It's not God. It's us. He's waiting on us to believe Him. And as Pastor Gabor shared on Friday about fasting and Sister Tess, I believe you were looking at Jennifer Franklin. Were you about the fasting, the 21-day fast? Yes, I know. I don't know how many of you all have seen Jennifer Franklin or TBN. Well, for several years now, Jennifer Franklin, he calls a 21-day fast, and it's usually the first week of that month, of January, the first week of January. And it's usually the Daniel fast, which is fruit and vegetables. It started last Sunday. I started the fast with them. Usually we go every year with Jennifer Franklin. I was listening to him last Friday. I think it was Friday night or Thursday night. I don't remember what night it was. He was on TBN. And he really stirred my spirit with what he shared. And he was talking about the fasting and what fasting will do. And he said he remembered that he had an appointment to go to one church to preach at another state. This pastor had invited him. And it was a year that he had made that invitation, had that invitation to go. It was a year from the day the pastor had given him. So he said just as he was about to go that week, the pastor died. And he was in prayer and fasting, and he called them and he said, you know, I don't think I'd be able to come because your pastor died, and I think, you know, with my respect, I think you're the one should be here, somebody from the church or one of the pastors and staff should be the speaker of that day because that was the day for the funeral. The Sunday they were going to bury their pastor. He said, and they said, no, Brother Franklin, we want you to come to speak for us that day. He said he went, and he said, God, give him 3 points. And I don't want to go into detail, I don't remember all of it, but the Lord gave him 3 points to preach on. He said, when he was finished, he said, they told him, they said, we would like you to be the pastor of this church. And he said, no way, I can't do that. You know, I can't take up my family and move them from here. Oh, no, I can't do that. They said, well, we want you to think about it because we'd like you to be the pastor of this church. Free Gospel Church, the church, is that right? And he said he began to fast. And he was talking what fasting will do in your life. It makes you so sensitive to the Spirit of God that you can hear God speaking. God can begin to reveal things unto you when you go into prayer and fasting. He said, and he heard clearly, the Lord spoke to him and he said, Jensen, I want you to go and be the pastor of that church. He said, I knew it was God. He said, he got home and he told his wife, he said, honey, the Lord wants me to take the church in this such and such place. She said, I already know. He spoke to me. He said he got there, they moved and they went to the church, and the Lord began to move and work in the church. The church began to grow, and he said, no, look at Free Gospel Church. Huge. What God did, because of his obedience and because of prayer and fast and able to hear the voice of God speaking to you. He said, I'm 48 years old. He said, and I'm debt free. Don't owe the bank a dime. He said, because when you live a life fasting and seeking God and praying, there'll be nothing in your life that God can't do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think it stood my heart came up to God, that's the place I want to be at. Mm-hmm. God, I desire that. To be able to hear clearly from the Lord and to get instructions from Him. And the scripture that we are standing upon on this side is Mark 9:29. Some can come it out only by prayer and fast. Pastor Gabor mentioned Friday night. He would like us, life-giving church, to start a fast, starting tomorrow, Monday, for 7 days. My sister Tess said before that she's on medication, and she can't fast all day long, and God knows. He wants us to use wisdom. If you're on medication, or you've never fasted before, you say, well, I can't fast 7 days, just with fruit and vegetable. I've got to eat some food. I've got to have my meat. Or you know something? Maybe if it's just 1 hour. Maybe you're standing up for just 1 hour. Say, God, I'm just going to give this hour to you. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast, Lord. And I'm going to believe you. He honors what you do for us. My pastor before said, we're not doing it to lose weight. Okay, yes. That happens. But you're doing it as unto Him. So I want to encourage you today that we all would come in unity together and join me. I already started a week ago, but join Pastor Boy and all of us in prayer and fast. You say, Pastor, what are we fasting for? That's the honor. Let's fast for the direction of life to change. We want clarity. Lord, where do you want us to go? What is the building? Where? The finance. God, we need to hear from you. We need clarity from you. I believe I heard that testimony from Jennifer Franklin because God wanted me to hear it so I could share it with you. God has great things in store for this ministry. Fast and pray for your unsaved loved ones who are still out there. And you stand on the promises of God. Acts 16:31 is His promise. He said, if we believe on Him, what will He do? He'll save our entire household. So we take God's word and we believe in this year, God, all my family members are going to be saved. I believe it. We're also fasting and praying for your own life. The direction, where is He taking you? What does He want you to do for Him? His purpose for your life. So what I think He wants you to do is, no, He doesn't want you to think. He wants you to know. There's a difference in thinking and knowing. And one of my prayer requests is, Lord, I want a spiritual awakening. Whichever way, whether you could go to 7 days, fruit and vegetables, do it. If you could only go one day, be honest. But set aside
sometime this week to seek the face of God in prayer and fast. The situation that you're dealing with for so long, you're tired of dealing with it, put prayer and fast in behind you. I guarantee you, there'll be a change. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Brother Leslie, the group will come back up. Praise the worship group. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand and I want to pray for us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray that God would strengthen us. Hallelujah. That God would just give us direction and He would lead us in everything that we're about to do this week. That the Spirit of the Living God would lead us to direct us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just want you to open up your heart to me and say, Lord, I received your word and I want a change in my life. You know every situation I'm facing, but God, today is the day for my turnaround. And as you begin to open up your heart and you begin to speak to Him, God will begin to speak to you. He begins to strengthen you. He begins to reveal things to you. Before the week is over, you will know what God is saying to you. If we truly believe God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, today we thank you. We give all honor and glory to you today, Lord Jesus. Surely your name is great. And you are greatly to be praised. We praise you, Jesus. In everything we do, Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor because you deserve it, oh God. Oh God, Father, this week, we ask that you would strengthen us today. Oh God, search our hearts today, Lord God. And see if there be any wicked ways in us and lead us to the way of lead us in. Father, dig up the fertile ground in our hearts, Lord. Remove the unbelief and the doubt and the hopelessness and the despair out of our hearts, oh God. Father, and as we set our minds and our hearts this week to seek your face, to fast and pray for your direction, oh God, we ask that you would give us grace, Lord. Grace, oh God, to fast, oh Lord. Father, we're depending upon you. We cannot do it without you, Lord. But through you, we can do all things. Lord, we know, oh God, that you are getting ready to move in an awesome way in our midst. And we do not want to miss what you're about to do. So we ask for your direction. Illuminate our minds and flood with the light of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear you, Jesus. We want to see you. Oh God, and we make up our minds, God, that we will seek your face. Oh God, we are desperate for you, Lord. Oh God, we want to walk in your supernatural power every day of our lives. That we can influence the lives of those who do not know you on our job, in our homes, in the supermarket, wherever we go, Lord God. That they would see the glory of God upon our lives. Father, we are your vessels. Use us, oh God. Thank you. God, and we believe in when we come back in this place next week, Lord, there will be many, many testimonies of what you have done in our lives. We believe. We believe you, Jesus. So if
expect how to see your glory manifested in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Hallelujah. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you.